With me to 1 Thessalonians. We're starting a new series today. It's only 2 weeks, two parts, but I think it's going to be key. In fact, I think it's urgent, and it's called Pray First. Everybody say with me those two words, pray first. Say it again, pray first. I'm going to have our ushers, our wonderful ushers, come again. I'm really going to work these guys out today, and they have something special for you today, and it is a booklet. So we're going to do the booklet first of all here, guys, and then toward the end we have another gift for you as you leave today. But we have a little booklet called Pray First, and we some of our team went to Church of the Highlands this past summer, and we got a copy of this book, and I thought, wow, I'd love to produce this for our church, and they gave us permission, and I want to teach out of it today a pattern of prayer that I think will help you. So make sure everybody gets one, guys. Make sure everybody gets a copy of Pray First this morning. So, you know, we want to be a church that's built on God's power, not on human effort. Let me say that again, because that was actually a good amen moment, wasn't it, Glenn Brockway? Where's Glenn Brockway? I loved his thing on our Facebook. Hey, by the way, get on Facebook, our Face New Song Louisville, because there's some really good stuff being shared from the daily reading there. Man, I mean, Dawn Hodge had a great entry, and Carla had a great one, and my wife, and we're journaling our journey with God there on New Song Louisville. You want to be a part, and we need to hear from you. So get on there and check that out. We want to be a church built on God's power, not on man's wisdom, not on man's ingenuity, not on man's smarts. I tell you what, I want to be a part of a place that sees what God can do, not just what man can do through his efforts. I want to live a life that's not just about the best I can do. I want to live a life that's about the best that God can do. And I'm telling you, the key is prayer. It's becoming a real person of prayer. I got to tell you, this church values prayer. We've always prayed. This church was birthed out of prayer, in fact, out of 21 days of prayer and fasting is how God birthed this church. And from the very beginning, the very first year of the existence of this church, we set aside the first of the year to pray and fast and seek the Lord. Because we want this place to be a place that God is building. Tracy and I pray, our team prays. We won't do this, and we couldn't do this, quite honestly, without prayer. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a church that's built on prayer. My dear friend Greg Diedrich puts it this way. He says, what's birthed in the spirit must be maintained in the spirit, but what's birthed in the flesh has to be maintained in the flesh. I want to see what God wants to birth and do among us. Amen? So what about your life? You know, what about your life? What about your home? What about your business? What about your family? Are they built on prayer? 21 days of prayer, 6 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here, 9 a.m. Saturday morning. Come and join us, guys. Well, our rally cry, I want our rally cry this year to be these two words, pray first. Everybody say them with me again. Pray first. What would it look like if you dedicated your day to God, if you prayed first thing in your day, that as soon as you woke up, as soon as your feet hit the floor, as soon as you got that first cup of coffee, you went and you found that place of prayer where you could get alone with God and commune with Him? What would it look like if you prayed first before you sent your kids to school, you know, before they went out the door? Lord, bless them and help them to discover who you've made them to be today. What would it look like if you prayed first at your business before you were getting ready to have that important business meeting? God, help me in this. God, give me your wisdom. What would it look like if you prayed about your marriage? Lord, help me to be the best husband I can be today, the best wife I can be today. What if you prayed first in everything? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, our theme for these two messages. And it says this, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to teach you a verse today. And I love being able to do this. I'm going to teach you, you're going to memorize a new verse today. You're going to go out quoting a verse today. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Everybody say that with me. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Because you got to know where it's found, right? Because, you know, it's no good if you quote a verse and then somebody says, where's that found in the Bible? And you go, I really don't know. So now you know. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Are you ready? How many of you think you can memorize this verse with me right here, right now? Now, what I just read to you is three verses. So here's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You ready? Say it with me. Pray continually. You just memorized a verse. Give yourself a hand. That's pretty good. You just memorized a verse. You're pretty smart. All right, what's 1 Thessalonians 5:17?
Pray continually.
Ooh, pretty good. See, you got to repeat it back. You got to keep working on that, okay? So what's pray continually mean? Does that mean that you start out your morning, get on your knees, and you just stay there all day long? No. But it means you start your day, you pray first, you start your day in prayer, and then you pray all throughout the day. See, what's really interesting is if you'll start your day in prayer, you'll find it much easier to enter into prayer throughout the day. If you start your day in the flesh and, you know, whatever you might do to kind of get yourself going and excited about the day, you know what, you'll have a harder time entering into the Spirit. But if you start in the Spirit, you can stay in the Spirit throughout the day. Because listen, let me tell you this, folks. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. How many of you agree with that? Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. You know what many of us do? Many of us act first, and then we have to ask God to bail us out of the trouble we just got ourselves in because we didn't seek him first. We act first, we don't pray first, and then we get in a mess. How many of you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you're going, Lord, help me out of this mess that I just got myself in because I didn't take the time to seek you first. I don't know about you, but I look around and things are just getting really, really bad in this world. Really crummy. Really crummy. I mean, they're not just, you know, stuff's happening at an unprecedented pace. Things aren't just going downhill like that. I mean, it's kind of like go, pfft. I mean, you know what I mean? Shootings and terrorism and just so many things are out of control in our world. We need some people who are going to put prayer first. Because I'm telling you, I'm all about being a discerning voter for the election that's coming up. But it doesn't matter who becomes president, it won't change our nation. How many of you know that? It doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter what laws are passed. It doesn't matter what government programs are started. Listen, I believe prayer should be our first response for the health of our nation, for the health of our homes, for the health of our own lives spiritually. Prayer, first response, not our last resort. What a great time to fast and pray here at the beginning of the year, to really seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or I command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. If my people, listen to that, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people will pray. Do you know that sitting right here today in this sanctuary, in this gathering, there's a solution to the problems and the difficulties in our city? If you'll pray, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll call out to God. How many of you think 86 murders in the city of Louisville, Kentucky is too many? It's way too many. How many of you think God wants to do something in our city to change the fabric of our city, to bring about harmony and unity in our city like never before? It'll happen if we, God's people, pray and humble ourselves. By the way, fasting is a way of humbling yourself. Do you know that? There's something about it. I'll tell you what, I'm a self-confessed foodie. I like food, all kinds of food, pretty much any kind of food. I don't understand my kids at times, you know. Some of my kids, they eat like only five things. You know, I could list them to you. I won't do that right now, but they eat about five things. I eat about 5,000 things. I mean, there's no limit to the food that I love. I love all kinds of food. You tell me today, I'd like to take you to, you know, whatever ethnic restaurant. I'm game. Let's go. Let's try it. Well, I can't do it today because I'm fasting, but I love food. And there's something about disengaging to some degree from the very thing that keeps us alive on this earth. There's something humbling about that. There's something that there's even a sense of mourning that at times comes when you fast and you pray. Anybody here ever struggled with prayer? I'm just curious. Anybody ever struggled with prayer? I have. You know, I remember being a young man and becoming a part of the church at 15 years old. And, you know, at times we'd be in situations where they'd have us pray, you know. And how many of you ever been in one of those really uncomfortable prayer circles where people grab your hands and they're all sweaty and then they squeeze your hand? You know, and you're not sure what that means, but you're kind of freaked out a little bit by it. And, you know, prayer sometimes can become one of these things where it's just, it can make us uncomfortable if we don't understand it and we don't understand how to do it. Some of us grew up with some crazy stuff, you know. I mean, how about that prayer that was taught to a lot of kids, you know, just little ones? You know the prayer I'm talking about? Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. But if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I mean, doesn't that sound creepy? You know, we teach that to kids to really encourage them to want to be people of prayer. It's kind of, prayer is a delight. Amen? Prayer is a joy. Prayer is, like I said earlier, if you understand the Father's heart for you, prayer's like crawling up into the lap of Daddy God and opening your heart to him. In fact, Jesus, his followers, they'd seen a lot of people pray in their lives, but they saw something different in Jesus. And one day, they asked him, would you teach us to pray? Would you teach us to pray? Luke 11:1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Why do you think they did that? I think they did it because they'd seen a lot of people pray. I remember going to Israel several years ago, and right behind me, I had a rabbi sitting behind me in my El Al airplane, and he was reading the Torah and doing this in his seat right behind me. And, you know, someone had the courage to ask one of the rabbis why they did this rocking like this. And when you go to the Wailing Wall, they're dressed very, very particularly, and black and white, and a hat, and they're all there at the wall doing this. And someone asked one of the rabbis, "Why do you do that?" And he said, "Well, so we won't fall asleep." Because it's much of it is rote prayer, things they've memorized, just quoting things. And I want to teach you, because here's what I think Jesus' followers saw in him when he began to pray. They saw something so different than the legalistic, religious, repetitious form of prayer that had been around them. They saw Jesus connecting in prayer with the Father. They saw something intimate and real when Jesus began to pray. In Matthew 6:19-13, and I know some of you have heard this before, some of you have even learned some of this, but I want you to look at it a little different way today. By the way, we're only going to cover the first part of your Pray First book today. Bring it with you to church next week, and I'm going to teach you another pattern of prayer, one that I've just recently learned that's really powerful too. But let's dive in real quick, and let's run through this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. When Jesus quoted that after the disciples had asked him, teach us to pray, he said these words first, and they're very important. He said, after this manner pray. He did not say these exact words. Pray these exact words. He said, after this manner, pray. What was he doing? He was giving you and I a pattern of prayer that would help us every day know how to connect with God. In fact, there's seven things. I want to show them to you quickly. The first one is connect with God relationally. The prayer, we've called it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. It's your prayer too, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus and follow him, starts with these words, our Father in heaven. Not some formal thing. He's a father. He's daddy. He's Abba. In fact, Jesus talks about Abba, Father. He's daddy God. The word I like that I think is so descriptive, Papa. He's Papa. Our Father in heaven. And when you start to pray, you begin in this place of connecting with God relationally. Not some stuffy King James type of approach to God. But you come and you crawl up beside him. Romans 8 chapter or verse 15 says, you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy, God. Again, your view of God has everything to do with the way you live your life. If you see him as a loving father, you're going to approach him easily, readily. You're going to enjoy being in his presence. So you start the prayer, our Father in heaven. Second, you worship his name. Hallowed be your name. What in the world does hallowed mean? It means to worship. It means to set apart his name. It means to glorify his name. Proverbs 18:10 says this, God's name is a place of protection. And the righteous can run there and be safe. What are his names? There's several of them revealed in the Old Testament. Now, inside your book, we don't have the exact Hebrew names. I don't think you necessarily need to know Jehovah Tsidkenu or whatever the Hebrew is. But you need to know what the name means. And here they are. And let me just tell you how you can pray through. And this is on page 4 in your Pray First book. What are his names? He's your righteousness. Lord, I thank you today that I'm made righteous because of what you've done for me. Lord, you're my sanctifier. You have called me and you have set me apart for your glory. Lord, you are my healer. By your stripes, the Bible says, I'm healed, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. You're my banner of victory. You've defeated the enemy for me, and you lead me in triumphal procession in Christ. You're my shepherd. You're my shepherd. You speak to me and you lead me. You are my peace. You're my peace, Lord, in the midst of every storm, every circumstance, every situation. In you, I can find peace. And you're my provider. I thank you that you provide all my needs. Amen? Those are names of God. There's lots of others, quite honestly. And then third, you pray his agenda first. You pray his agenda first. How many of you know that when a relationship is really important to you, you'll focus on their agenda, not just your needs. You'll care about what they care about. How many of you know that God has a prayer list? God has his own prayer list. He wants you to come alongside him and pray about the things that are important on his heart before you start diving in and praying about what's important to your heart. And what's important to his heart? Let me tell you, you can probably sum it up in one word, others. Others. People are really important to God. There's people around you right now that are broken, that are hurting, that are lost, that are lonely, that are in need. And you see them, you rub shoulders with them, you come across their path. God wants you to pray for them. God wants you to begin to intercede for them. God wants you to begin to not only pray, but then also take a step of caring for them, reaching out to them, helping them. Pray his agenda first. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's prayer list. How about our missionaries? We have a beautiful board set up out there with all of our missionaries and little pins where you can put it in after you've prayed for them. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have actually prayed through that list of missionaries? Those are people who've heard the call of God, and out of obedience to that call, they have sacrificed everything and gone in his name that others might discover his love. How many of you think they deserve prayer? They really do. They really do. And you and I are the body to be praying for them. Number four, depend on him for everything. Jesus said, pray after this manner. Give us this day our daily bread. But you're sitting here going, well, I don't know that I really need anything. You know what? This is all about developing a dependence upon God, recognizing that every good and perfect gift that you have in your life, it came from God, and you need to develop a dependence upon God where every day you're coming before him and you're trusting him for your needs. It's a part of really developing that relationship that he wants you to have with him. Psalm 121 verse 1 and 2 says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No, my help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth and the mountains. Then number 5, get your heart right with God and people. To me, this is a huge one and very important to me. If you're around me much, you'll hear me say this quite often. I want to make sure my heart is right with God and right with others. And that's really what the Lord teaches us in this prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, for you to receive God's forgiveness, you first of all got to do the work of making sure you're forgiving others. It means you need to become an active forgiver. You need to get your heart right in two places, with God and with people. I pray that all the time. Lord, I want to have a sensitive heart before you. Show me, Lord, if there's anything in me that I need to confess. King David prayed these words, search me, O God. Search me, O God. I find Jesus talks about offenses and that offenses will come. Well, that's a stumbling block, a trap from the enemy. And one of the things I pray through often, I don't want to offend others and I don't want to be offended. I want to get to the place where I'm recognizing when an offense comes and I'm dealing with it quickly. We can be proactive as we pray through this part of the prayer and say, God, help me as the day comes. Help me, Lord, today to forgive people when they're offensive toward me. Help me, God, when I'm in traffic today and that guy cuts me off, to be loving and kind instead of saying something I shouldn't. Can be proactive. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Number 6, engage in spiritual warfare. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us from the evil one. We know the Bible tells us that God does not lead anyone into temptation, but you and I find ourselves there often because of our own desires, because of our own weaknesses. Listen, church, I got to tell you, there is an enemy out there. There is an enemy out there. If you're not fighting the devil, then let me just tell you, he's working harder than you are because he's fighting against you. He's fighting against your family. He's fighting against your business. You might be going, wow, Pastor, you're getting a little weird here. No, I'm telling you, there is a clash of kingdoms, and you and I live in the midst of it every day. Whether we recognize it or not, there's a kingdom of light, there's a kingdom of darkness, and those two kingdoms are at war. You better get your armor on and walk every day covered in your armor, fighting the good fight of faith, standing in faith. How many of you know, men, I got to say this to you particularly, how many of you are fighting for your families? It's your place, it's your privilege, it's your calling to be fighting for your family every day. How many of you are fighting for your church, fighting for your pastor, fighting for your spouse, fighting for your boss? Fight in that place of prayer. Ephesians 6:12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Come out and see War Room tonight. It's going to teach you how to fight. Yes. Amen? Little Miss Clara teach you how to become a real warrior in the kingdom. And then last, number 7, express faith in God's ability. And the prayer, the way of praying ends this way, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You know what? as you wrap up your time of prayer, you begin to thank God for how awesome he is, how great he is, and you end in praise. Jeremiah 32, 17, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm, and nothing is too hard for you." Revelation 5, 13, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Can you say amen? I'm going to ask our worship team to come back quickly and our ministry team to come up across the front. I want to go ahead and close today and give you an opportunity to receive prayer if you need prayer today for whatever need you might have in your life as we enter this new year. Maybe you want to come up and just say, "You know what, I'm committing to being a part of the fast. I need a breakthrough in this area. I need prayer in this area. I'm